Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And on this episode, we're reviewing the new Apple TV Plus film, Emancipation, starring Will Smith. His first role since the slap at the Oscars. So, of course, a lot of people interested on what this would be like. So we're going to dive into that.
Should I do a slap sound?
You could if you wanted to. Okay. Yeah.
Was it good?
It was a G.I. Jane joke. I'll be Chris Rock.
Get your name out of my mouth. Get your get my wife's name out of your mouth, Jared. That's so good. Wow. Acting.
Yeah. So that was great. I'm sure if you're in your car or listening, and you're like just working on stuff around the house, wrapping Christmas presents, whatever, I'm sure you really thought that was some superb acting from us just now. So
you're welcome.
Yes, but we'll be talking about Emancipation today on the show. So first, we do have some news. We had two more trailers come out. We've talked about this first movie before. That's The Pale Blue Eye with Christian Bale. Murder mystery, just kind of Sherlock Holmes. Edgar Allan Poe is the character, obviously, that's involved. Vibes on this one. And the full trailer is out now. And it looks pretty creepy and spooky. And I think Christian Bale is going to play this role really well. So I'm interested to see the full thing. I think the trailer definitely gave me the feeling of like, yeah, I definitely want to watch that whole movie. It seems like there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be a life-changing movie, but it is so, you can just tell from the trailer, it is so my type of movie. I love a spooky movie, especially when it's a literary spooky person. Christian Bale, other than being psychotic sometimes in real life, he can do no wrong acting-wise for me. I'm really excited. And Lucy Boynton is in it. It's like a period piece with some English people or some, I guess it's really Northeastern people in America, but it looks really good.
And it's going to come out in January. There's probably going to be like 4 inches of snow on the ground. You
so
know, it's going to still get dark at 5:30.
I'm getting a chill just thinking about it.
And then also Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the second one, the trailer came out for that as well. And that movie obviously got delayed. I think it was supposed to come out this year and then got pushed to next year. So
I was so confused. Arjun was like, the trailer came out. And I was like, wait, what?
Like, and then, I thought the movie was out.
Because I was even excited about the movie, and I know friends that are excited, Arjun's excited, but then I was like, wait a minute, isn't that coming out, like next summer? And he's like, yeah. And I said, then why is the trailer out now? That's very weird, because you would think it'd come out in March or something. But no.
Yeah. Yep.
But I watched the trailer, it looks very good. I mean, man, whoever is behind particularly the Spider-Verse stuff, genius.
Yeah. Yep. They've done a really good job. And the animation on that and everything just looks really, really cool.
It's crazy good. Yeah.
Yes. Let's see. So it was supposed to be released on April, but then it got delayed of 2022, but then it got delayed to October of 2022 due to COVID.
Holy.
And
oh,
now
my gosh.
It's going to come out in June of 2023. But the creative crew, Lord and Miller, said that the film is being split into two parts. And so they worked on both parts at the same time. So the second part will be out early 2024. So there'll be about 7 or 8 months between. So you get two Spider-Verse movies pretty close together. So
wow, that's a lot. But that no wonder the trailer's out. They've had it probably done for half a year.
Yeah, they've just been like holding it probably. So, yeah.
But it looked really good. I'm very excited. Both movies, great. And The next thing is not happy.
Yeah, some unfortunate news. Stephen Twitch Boss, who was Ellen's in-house DJ for many, many years and did lots of other things, just kind of like a big entertainment person, dance person, all kinds of stuff, completed suicide on Tuesday. He was only 40 years old, and this surprised a lot of people, surprised me. He always had a very positive attitude on Ellen's show. Obviously, that's television, so you don't really know how a person is feeling, which I think is the big thing that I've seen surrounding this, is that you always need to check on people, even the people in your life that you think are okay and are, you know, very happy and exuberant. Sometimes they can be struggling with stuff too, and it's clear that he was, unfortunately, and then passed away.
Yeah, Jared, I am shocked. I almost cried yesterday when I saw this because I felt very invested in him for some, and Allison Holker, his wife, because I love So You Think You Can Dance, and then also Dancing with the Stars. And then they had this just adorable proposal to end all proposals. When he asked her to marry him, I saw that whole thing happen because he did it on one of the dance shows. And then they've like, they have a, like a blended family and they've had some kids of their own. But I also went down the rabbit hole. I didn't want to, but this one really got me, especially being 40 years old and no signs. I mean, we're talking like no clear signs of depression, anxiety, what it sounded like, what I've read, but also like they were talking about having more kids. They had just celebrated their 9th wedding anniversary, like days, like 4 days before. They just bought a new home and moved into it. Like, it's very strange to me. I don't mean to be morbid or weird, but it very well could have just been very, very, very serious depression. But I was like, this almost seems like something like blackmail or threatened, like he's threatened. Yeah, by, like, yep. It just seems so strange. And I will not go into details and make this about, but I just read how he did it, where he did it, when he did it. It's all just very sad. And yeah, you're absolutely right. The main thing is like check in on people, and depression does not discriminate age, race, wealth, status, anything. So definitely check on people, especially this time of year. Christmas and New Year's are very triggering for people. No one is exempt from that. So seriously, our thoughts go out to his family, and wow, just so, so sad. Yeah. But hopefully he left a positive legacy. I mean, his, and also if you just want some joy, watch some of his dancing videos. He was probably one of the best dancers I've ever, contemporary people I've ever seen.
Yeah. We do have one correction, but not really a correction, more of like psychic corner instead of corrections corner. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, that book by Gabrielle Zevin, did end up winning Fiction Book of the Year in the Goodreads Choice Awards. So
it's like I knew. I knew it was going to happen.
I saw that. I need to read it. I've heard it's very good.
So good. Well,
tons of people have been talking about it. So I put it on my Christmas list. We'll see if it shows up, you know, if Santa brings it under the tree. So,
well, Jared, so yesterday, just yesterday, we did that for our workbook club. So I told you, I read it. I really enjoyed it. The workbook club was very mixed on it.
Okay.
However, it was more women. I do wonder if this is a book geared more towards men or specifically people who are gamers, people who enjoy a video game. I think this is like totally their wheelhouse. If somebody is a developer and reads this book, or if somebody is a big gamer and reads this book, I would love your opinion on it. I really enjoyed it. Is it going to be my number one book of 2022? No. Would it be in my top 20? Absolutely. So I thought it was really good. And it's one I won't soon forget. And we had a great discussion about it in our workbook club. So I hope you get to read it. Yes. But it did win the fiction section. But if those of you are not, if you don't have Goodreads, they pick different genres. So they have a nonfiction winner, a fiction winner, a romance winner, a fantasy winner, etc. So this one fiction, though. But that's, I mean, think of how many options there were.
This one, like the general, just all the fiction books, this was the winner for, because they split categories. So you'll have like best science fiction, like you said, best mystery thriller. And those could still be nominated for best fiction book as well. Like the same thing might win both, but this one, like best fiction overall. So very impressive. Some recommendations for this week. I've been watching a couple things, so I've got a few recommendations, or I don't know recommendations, but just things that I watched.
Do tell.
So I watched Spirited on Apple TV Plus with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, that new Christmas movie.
Oh, yes.
It was okay. Wasn't my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay.
Wasn't the worst, though. I enjoyed myself. I thought Will Ferrell was pretty funny. I thought it was one of the better roles I had seen from him in a little while. Ryan Reynolds is just playing Ryan Reynolds. So,
That's surprising. Yeah.
He really stepped out of his range for this one. So, if you like that, then great. But if you don't, you probably won't enjoy this. It does have some singing in it as well. It's sort of a musical. It makes some weird story choices, plot decisions, things that I didn't think really needed to be in there. Like they try to set up this like hookup romance thing with like the ghost of Christmas past and Ryan Reynolds' character.
No.
So I was like, cut that out. But anyway, it's fine if you want to check that out. Also, I watched Barbarian on HBO Max. This is a horror movie. And I had the day off from work today, so I finished a few of these things today. It's a horror movie. I usually don't love horror movies, but I had a couple of people tell me that this was kind of a unique take on a horror movie. I would say it definitely is horror and thriller combined. It's about this person that goes to stay at this Airbnb and finds out somebody else is staying there at the same time. And then there's like a basement and creepy stuff happens. So I won't spoil it for you, but Bill Skarsgård's in it. And then Justin Long as well. So yeah, it's not bad. It's like an hour and a half. So pretty solid. And then I also started watching White Lotus as well. So I've watched the first two episodes. So, and I know you've recommended it before, Katie, but I'm liking it so far. So,
well, I avoided putting that in my recommendations because I finished season two and I was actually, I think I was angrier at the end of the season.
Okay.
I did. Now, Jared, I will tell you very clearly, I feel very strongly about this. I thought season two was leaps and bounds better than season one.
Really? Okay.
Which never happens, but I did think that. I hate everybody. I hate them. There's not a character I like. There's not a character I care about. And a lot of people I've told this to, they're like, that's the point. Okay, well, I don't know that I sit down after a long, stressful day at work with stressful people and go, I really want to watch a show that makes me irate and stresses me out more. I don't know that that's what I'm personally looking for in my life, but maybe some people can hang and they love it. I did enjoy it. I think it's well done. But by the end, I'm just so mad. And I always think, why did I watch this? So that's how I felt. I'm not saying it's not a great, like, well done show. It's just one that I like. I hate everybody and I don't even care who dies in the end because I hate them all.
I will say I have liked through the first two episodes how they have unraveled some character details just kind of slowly. So when the show starts, you don't really know a lot about these people that are staying at this hotel. And you don't know their backstories, or, you know, you kind of know why they're there. Like, one family's on a vacation and then there's a couple celebrating their honeymoon. And then Jennifer Coolidge is just like doing her own thing at this hotel. But then as it goes on, you kind of learn some more details of the characters and what they do in real life and some different things and how they're kind of all a little bit connected with each other. So that's kind of interesting in terms of storytelling that it does that. So I'd say it's clever storytelling, but also the idea of a show taking place at a hotel is kind of cool because we haven't seen that in
while.
And it's a very swanky hotel, in Hawaii.
Yes.
So
and then the next season's in Sicily. I mean, they pick stellar locations. I do agree with you, Jared. I mean, what I think is so clever about the show that other shows don't do well, and of course they do it well because it's HBO, the story, every little detail, every storyline you think they're gonna never pick up again, it all comes together in the end. And the second season was just like that. So they do a fantastic job of that. I just hate the characters and that makes it very stressful for me. I'll leave it there. But I can't wait to hear what you think about overall.
Okay.
I loved the second season. I can't say I loved it because I got so mad at the end. But I was way more interested in the characters and the setting and everything of the second season.
Okay. Good to know.
Yes. So for me, I did do a lot of reading. People still need to pray for me because, it is December 15th. We are running out of time. I'm not going to tell you how many books I have left. It's more than five. So I read I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. Dang, that book, worth the hype. Everything people are saying, yes. I will say the only thing I want to leave you with is extremely triggering. If you have experienced parental abuse, eating disorders, any kind of body image issue, wouldn't recommend or recommend it with you having that knowledge ahead of time. Because wow. It was great though. I can see why everyone's talking about it and it deserves the hype. I also read The Butcher and the Wren by Elena Urquhart, another book that is getting a bunch of hype because it is written by one of the co-hosts of Morbid, my absolute favorite true crime podcast. It was so good. It's very short. I don't think it is the best book I've read of the entire year, but for a debut book, it was spectacular, in my opinion. And Elena is also, her job before doing this podcast was as an autopsy technician. So it's really cool to get that perspective where, like, she actually knows what she's talking about as far as, like, bodies and decomposition and all of that stuff that normally people are kind of, like, not aware of or they're not explaining well. She does. So it was good to have that perspective. And then lastly, I finished book Kiss Her Once for Me, which is from Holly Jolly Christmas, if you're trying to place that lyric. Kiss Her Once for Me is by Allison Cochran. It was a book of the month pick for December. Absolutely adorable. It's a romance. It does have LGBTQ+ themes. I don't always pick books like that, but dang, this one was so good. Lighthearted. Perfect for holidays if you're looking for that. Okay, and then lastly, I didn't put this on there, but Jared, you reminded me. So first of all, Mandy, our loyal listener, heard me talk about Kimberly on the Sex Lives of College Girls on that episode, and she giggled because she was like, how did I not see it? It is watching you on television. And I was like, yes, it really is, which I think is a compliment, I hope. I hope it's a compliment for me and Pauline Chalamet, but I was two episodes behind, and actually I have like 10 minutes left of the second one. I was watching it last night just to kind of decompress. I worked till like 8 p.m. and then I was like, I guess I'll watch some TV before bed. I laughed so hard. I thought I was going to like spit out my dinner. It is so funny. If you guys like any kind of humor like that, Mindy Kaling humor, I know I've talked about it, but please watch The Sex Lives of College Girls on HBO. It's so funny, especially Kimberly. I love her so much.
Nice. So there was I forget what it was. There was a joke in the first episode of White Lotus that made me like audibly laugh out. Like it was so unexpected. I didn't see it coming. That same thing. I just like audibly laughed out loud and was like, oh my gosh, that was, you know, very funny. Okay. So we'll get into our review of Emancipation. Not a funny movie at all. No jokes to be had in this one. This was released on December 2nd. Limited release. This is in some theaters. I looked. I saw it's, you know, near me in the Indianapolis area. It is showing in some theaters if you do want to go watch it in a theater. It does have great cinematography, which we'll talk about. So that would probably be maybe a reason to go see it on the big screen. It looks nice. And then December 9th released on streaming. And it's rated R for disturbing images, strong racial violence, and language. It's 2 hours and 12 minutes. And then IMDb is a 5.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, critics 45%, audience 88%. That is a huge split.
Huge.
Audience is loving this movie on Rotten Tomatoes. So definitely a lot to talk about here. Box office, not really any box office. Again, it's in a few theaters, but it's not in a ton of theaters, so it's not like making a killing at the box office. The only reason they threw it in some theaters is because they're going to probably make a push for it for the Oscars. Then it has to be in theaters for a couple weeks, so that's why it's in theaters. Synopsis, a runaway slave forges through the swamps of Louisiana on a torturous journey to escape plantation owners that nearly killed him. And this movie is directed by Antoine Fuqua, who directed Southpaw, Training Day, Brooklyn's Finest, and Olympus Has Fallen. Next up, he will direct The Equalizer 3 with Denzel Washington. I have not seen The Equalizer or The Equalizer 2,
either.
But apparently a third one is coming out.
I know.
So there you go. I thought he was involved with a James Bond movie, but I think I'm getting him confused with somebody else. So, Antoine Fuqua.
There's Cary Fukunaga.
That's who it is. Yes.
Okay.
The F last name was this is not the same person though. So that's who directed this one. And we'll take a quick break on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about our likes and dislikes in the cast for Emancipation. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Emancipation. Of course, in the lead role for this one, in his first movie since the slap at the Oscars, Will Smith playing the role of Peter.
I'm going to do the slap again. Was it good?
It was good. That was great.
For the Oscar episode this year, we should just put a lot of those in. I'll keep working on my slap, everyone. Also, before I do this, do you ever write things like you write notes for yourself or you like write things down and you make yourself laugh?
Yes.
Okay, that's what happened when I wrote the rest of the notes for this episode. So I just want to let you know, please bear with me because I think they're funny. Will Smith, let's get into it. He plays Peter. Originally from Philadelphia, perhaps you've heard of it. He was on a show called The Freshmen of Bel-Air, and that's all he talked about. I do love that show. No hate. Love that show. He was also known for Independence Day, I Am Legend, King Richard, Ali, and The Pursuit of Happiness, and Men in Black. Last year, in a completely unmemorable ceremony, he won a Black ask actor. I can't talk. There's the soundbite. We're good to go? Okay. I meant to say he won a Best Actor Oscar for King Richard. He has three upcoming projects listed, including the movie we all need, Bad Boys 4, Fast and Loose, and The Council. You guys, I didn't even know there was a Bad Boys 3, and now they're already coming out with Bad Boys 4. So
go for it. Yeah, lots of Bad Boys.
Also, I hope I like, I really was not trying to be inappropriate, everyone. He is a black man, which is great, but I was talking about a Best Actor Oscar. Anyway, the point is he won, and I don't know if you guys remember that Oscar ceremony, but it was it was unmemorable.
He basically slapped Chris Rock, and then like 30 minutes later, won the award for Best Actor. So, and then got up there and like had to apologize and like you know, also give his speech for winning the award.
Yeah.
And related him slapping Chris Rock to what his character in the movie King Richard would have done.
Absolutely.
That is obviously based on a real life person, but Will Smith is not that person. So, you know, yeah, this is interesting for sure. And I didn't even watch the Oscars live. Katie was texting me. I got back home. I was at somewhere and I got back home like after the slap had happened, but before he won Best Actor. So I was jumping in like right in the middle. It was a wild, wild time.
I think I texted Jared and was like, you picked the worst Oscars to ever miss. Like, you, this was it.
I was like, oh, I got something going on. This isn't a huge year. Like, you know, it's pretty predictable what's going to win. Okay, no.
If you missed the La La Land debacle with Moonlight, or if you missed this, you've missed the two most exciting Oscars that have ever happened. Also, if anyone heard Siri, she's probably going to start talking to me again. She has interrupted two meetings this week and now this recording. So she needs to calm down.
Come on, Siri.
I didn't even say her name. Okay. Wow. Moving on. Ben Foster. Lots to say about him. He plays Jim Fassel. I don't think we ever hear his name, but apparently that's his name. He's originally from Boston and is best known for Hell or High Water, which I only saw because Chris Pine was in it, The Messenger, 310 to Yuma, and Leave No Trace. Next up, he will be in Finest Kind, Peter Pan, Land of Forever, and Long Day's Journey into Night.
Okay. Very nice.
Lastly, we have Charmaine Bingwas. She plays Dodie Ann. She is married to Peter in the film. She is a Zimbabwean-Australian actor. She is best known for Black Box, Trees of Peace, and The Good Fight, the TV show The Good Fight. Next up, you can see her in the TV series King Shaka. But I thought she did a good job. She has a very limited role, but I liked her, and I was almost more interested in her character than some of the other people.
So we've got some research that Katie did on this film. And this movie is based on a photo of the photo's name is called Whipped Peter, which you see the actual photo before the credits of this movie.
Yes.
And this is according to BBC.com. They said, Gordon, an escaped enslaved man, posed defiantly for a portrait in 1863 at the height of the U.S. Civil War, when facts about the horrors of slavery were often decried as false propaganda. The gruesome photograph revealed the undeniable truth. So,
yes.
And they do and recreate that photograph in the movie. So,
yeah. And actually, that was astonishing. How close... Yeah. They got it was incredible. The same article said, during a medical examination, Gordon told officers he decided to escape after surviving a brutal whipping that left him near death and in a coma for 2 months. After 10 days of being chased through the Louisiana swamps and bayous by bloodhounds and slave catchers, Gordon finally made it to the Union encampment in freedom. He then revealed his scourged back as proof. Photographers embedded with the soldiers took the now infamous photo of Gordon barebacked with his hand on his hip. Also, his name, if you're like, who's Gordon? Because they call him Whipped Peter. And then they call him Peter in the film. His name was Gordon. But beyond that, there's basically nothing else known about him. I tried to find out where he's buried. I did find out he did enlist to help in the Union Army. The article I read made it sound like he voluntarily did that. In the movie, they portray it as they force him to do that. I don't actually know. I don't know the truth, but I will tell you that basically this movie was based on a guy named Gordon who was known as Peter, and we know nothing else, and they made a whole movie about it.
That's all we know. Also, you found that Will Smith keeps saying this isn't another movie about slavery. It's a movie about freedom. His character does achieve freedom later in the film. So you do see that. But I would still argue it is still also a movie about slavery because that's the whole first hour and a half. So
to me, that is totally a publicist saying you say this like this is going to win over. And I think it's fine to say that. Also, I recognize I am not a black person. I don't have that lived experience. So I can kind of imagine how that would sound so much more powerful. And even to me, that sounds more powerful. Mm-hmm. And I would argue this movie is, they focus on him escaping. That's awesome. And it is about people who were supposed to be freed, who were just denied that right. So cool to say that. I don't think he came up with that himself. I will say the last thing I wanted to point out, because Jared advocated for us to watch this movie, which I think was a good call, because he's right that Will Smith, that's a big talking point, regardless of what you think about the film. I did watch a 17-minute interview, took the time to watch it, with Trevor Noah that they just aired, because Trevor Noah's show just ended. I also watched that last episode, but he talked to Will Smith. If you want to hear about it, he talks about this movie, but he also talks about the slap controversy at the Oscars. It did alter my perspective a little bit in a positive, more forgiving way. And if nothing else, it made, I don't think that Will is maybe the most well-spoken person I've ever heard. He kept saying, you know, man, man, like he just kept saying that, which could have been nerves. And I recognize that as a human being. It did make me realize a lot of times I am very guilty of a snap judgment, especially with celebrities. I like to pretend I'm not, or like, I know their backstory. Even Chris Pratt, I am basing my judgment on him on three or four scenarios where I've heard how he reacted or I've heard how he said something. So I'm guilty of it myself. And I thought that this would be a good time to acknowledge that I do that. And Will Smith, I think the punishment fits the crime. Like, he probably shouldn't be allowed back at the Oscars for a little bit. But I do understand that some people, Twitch is a great example this week. We never know what people are dealing with. Who knows what was going on that night? I also didn't have an abusive father. I can't relate to that. But I still think physical assault is never okay. And I still will never like the way his kids reacted. And I will never like the way he partied hard, got drunk, accepted the award. I'll never like that. But I do feel a lot more empathy for his situation. And I think if you're like me and think you could learn a thing or two and always want to work on your humanity, watch that video. It's only 17 minutes with Trevor Noah, and Trevor's a phenomenal interviewer. So I think that that also helped.
Good to know. So, okay. Some likes for this movie. There's not a ton. Black and white. Here's my thing. I don't know love. I'm kind of over the black and white movies. watched Blonde. Something else this year that came out was in black and white. I don't know. If it fits the setting, I think it makes sense. So like for this movie, I think it makes way more sense than Blonde. Because when Marilyn Monroe was alive, we had color cameras, color televisions, you know, things of that, color photographs, things of that nature. Obviously, when this movie takes place, we did not have any of that. So I think that if a movie is going to be set in black and white, this one definitely makes more sense. But I don't know. I don't love the, it's almost become a trope, I feel like, in some movies nowadays of just putting it in black and white. So I go back and forth on liking the black and white thing.
So for me, I actually had a pretty strong, this was a pretty strong like for me. But Jared, wholeheartedly agree with you exactly on Blonde, and also your reasoning behind why Blonde should have been a color. Marilyn knew color. That was a color world. She was in things that were color. So I agree with you. This one, I liked it. I liked it specifically because of the time period. We're seeing like daguerreotype cameras and stuff like that. I mean, like, we were not evolved yet. Although I think mentally and stuff, we're not evolved right now. But I did think that it also helped make it less graphic. I thought it was very interesting how he was going through the bayou and the woods and the swamps. He's bleeding everywhere. And you could tell it was blood, but it wasn't red. I thought that was interesting. And I also liked, it was so, to me, this movie was extremely graphic, both in language and in physical violence, that if it had been in color, I think I would have thrown up a little bit. It was that bad. Mm-hmm. For me, I thought that was a good choice. And I also thought I understood why he did that. And it didn't bother me. If anything, I thought it was one positive thing about this film.
In this movie, really enjoyed the cinematography. I thought there were multiple sequences where the cinematography was very, very well done. There's one sequence of Will Smith kind of running alongside, like you said, the bayou or the swamp. And the camera is just kind of following him from the other side of the swamp. And that's a very cool angle. There's some other cool camera tricks on this movie. They do some really cool stuff with the camera to really give you a big sense of scale and scope. And I thought that did look really cool at times. There's also some cool sequences in like the final battle and things like that. So I thought the cinematography was very well done. So
yes, I agree with you. And it was cool. It was interesting to hear this about Louisiana, because I've been there quite a few times now. Like I know what Atchafalaya, I know the creeks that they're talking about and the bayous. Baton Rouge, I've only driven through. But it's usually where I'm going from place to place, I go through Baton Rouge. Like it's, I'm more familiar with that area, but it was interesting from that perspective. But I agree with you, Jared, like the camera work was very impressive, especially like these times when his head went underwater and we could see his face and there was just no delay and he could open his eyes, things like when they're skimming along the swamp, following an alligator and stuff. I was very impressed with that. So I agree with you on that. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Another like is Will Smith. We have to give credit where credit is due. He does do a pretty good job in this movie. His performance is arguably one of the best parts of the movie. And he plays this role very well. It's a very serious role for him, probably one of the more serious roles we've seen him do, honestly. Pursuit of Happiness is a pretty serious, and 7 Pounds that he's in is a pretty serious role, but compared to King Richard, which was serious but a little more comical in nature in certain parts, and a little more, that was him just being more charismatic than anything. This is definitely a more understated role and a more serious role, and he does pull it off pretty well. It's very believable. So
yes, and also, you know, some people they do an accent and you're not expecting them to do an accent and you go, oh no, I didn't do that here. I actually thought, so they're assuming based on, I'm thinking absolutely nothing, that Peter might have been French. Or Gordon, excuse me. Now, I also do know there's a lot of Cajun, Haitian, Creole, but mainly Cajun population in Louisiana. So a lot of people do speak French, and there are a lot of like French heritage situations there. However, I thought it was weird that we don't know that about him and just assumed that he was French. And I thought, what an odd choice to make someone. I just thought that was weird. And they never back it up with why. So if you didn't know the history of Louisiana, you wouldn't know why that was happening. But I thought Will did a really good job of making that accent like come out, but also still sounding like he's probably from America and maybe just grew up around French influence. But I thought he did a good job. I was also very impressed with the scene where he had to cauterize his wound with a knife. He had to like burn his skin shut. I was very impressed with his face acting, and that might sound so stupid, but I don't know a lot of people, myself included, who could act out how painful that would be, but when you can't make a sound. That was impressive to me.
And then another like for this one is they did portray enslaved people as smart and resourceful. So Will Smith, a lot of times in the movie, will find a way to get out of something or escape a situation or things like that. And other characters do that in the movie as well. But they do show that, you know, they obviously were smart and they used their resources to the best of their abilities while trying to deal with this horrible thing that was going on.
Yes, I would argue that was my favorite part thing about the movie, because now I will recognize, I know a lot of people of color and especially enslaved people at that time wouldn't have been educated, or if they were, it was because a slave owner decided to teach them to read or something, but that was few and far between. But I do believe that enslaved people would be really good at surviving in the wilderness, or would know certain tips and tricks like rubbing yourself down with an onion. I don't even know if that's true about the dog thing, but I was fascinated by that. But things like knowing to cover himself in mud to blend in, or just knowing how to navigate swamps and things. And then his wife, she puts her arm in a cotton gin so that she gets injured so she can stay with her children. I was, first of all, ow. No, thank you, under any circumstances. But I was like, that was such genius. Like, how stressful the situation is. It was a last minute decision and she just did it. So not only did that show determination, but it also just showed quick resolve, like just to think to do that. And I'm used to movies about slavery portraying people as dumb or uneducated. And I liked that this movie didn't. And I also think it's believable that these people would have been this smart and resourceful. So I wanted to highlight that.
Do you have any other likes before we move on to dislikes?
You know, no, I'm sorry. Okay. I don't.
Okay. On to dislikes now. I have two, these are my two major dislikes with this movie. The first one is that early in the film, Will Smith is, he has not started escaping yet, but there are multiple scenes where he is like threatened at gunpoint by these slave owners. My thought watching this is, this is Will Smith. You paid him huge bucks to be in this movie. His face is on the poster. You are not going to kill him in the first 20 minutes of this movie. So the tension they were trying to build there was, I was like, no, he's gonna survive. Now, I didn't know at the end of the movie if he was gonna survive or not, but I knew at least in the first 20 minutes that he was gonna make it through, because we're 20 minutes into the movie. And they did it twice very early on. So that whole process of trying to build tension was just, it's not good there. I did think that later in the movie, there's like interaction with Ben Foster's character. I thought that was a little more tension building because we were later in the movie, so something could have happened. But the early in the movie, like trying to create all this false tension when you know he's not going to die at this point, was just, I thought, a bad choice in the script and also directing wise. And then my second dislike is I really didn't like how this movie was kind of two different movies. So the first part is kind of like he's escaping, he's trying to get away, and that's probably the first hour 15, and he is successful. The second part is him kind of joining the army, fighting, there's this big battle. Yes. It almost feels like it's a completely different movie, and I would have liked either one or the other. I mean, it could have just been 45 minutes shorter, and when he got to the, you know, the place where he was safe, they could have just kind of done a few couple scenes there and then wrapped it up. But no, there's still like another 45 minutes after that when that happens. I just thought it was odd that they decided to do both things. And I didn't need all that basically epilogue at the end. I didn't think that was really necessary. And it just added to the runtime. If this had been 45 minutes shorter, I think I probably would have rated it higher. And it also just would have been kind of one story instead of the two different story, major storylines going on. So,
yes. Jared, great point. I didn't think of it the way you just said it, but I do agree with you about it feeling like different story. For me, it left me with more questions than answers as far as when he enlisted, because I have kind of mentioned some of my major dislikes, but I do want to expand. So first, I definitely had an issue with the Haitian crew, the accent. I don't mind the accent, and I thought it was well done. If you give no context for why that accent is happening, like they're not in France, I don't think a lot of people would put that together. And maybe that doesn't bother other people, but it's because of a bigger issue. The second thing I couldn't stand was that the biggest thing I couldn't stand is saying it's based on a true story. There's a lot of movies, even like The Wonder, where you take an idea and it's based on something where people, The Wonder's a bad example, but you don't have to put based on a true story. When you add that tiny little blip at the beginning of a film or at the end of a film, and this one did it at both the beginning and the end, that's overkill. But you base the movie on basically no historical fact. I don't know why you're throwing it in there, because I know for sure I'm not the only person that immediately Googled who was Whipped Peter, where is he buried, tell me more about him, blah, 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 blah. And especially, you know, when you search in Google and it immediately pops up, you're not the only one that's searching for it. And I like the history, and it's fine. It is totally fine if they were like, wow, what an interesting guy. Let's just create his life story. But when you say it's based on a true story and it's based on absolutely nothing except a guy's name, that's wrong. Like, I think that's borderline unethical. I don't know why they're doing that. So that just irked me to no degree, because it didn't, you know, we never understand his heritage. We never understand. And when you, the reason I said that was when you brought up the enlisting in the military, one story article says it sounds like he immediately voluntarily wanted to enlist. The movie represents that as if black men were forced to enlist. That is a completely different story. And I'm interested in that story, because if somebody thinks they've reached freedom and then they're forced to fight for their country, that sounds like another form of slavery. And it also sounds to me,
and that's an interesting moral dilemma too, that they could have explored further. Yeah.
And then I was even interested in his moral question of, he was so devoted to God and believed God would save him, but then immediately could kill people in a war. And I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand this. So to me, that story was much more interesting than this made up fake running from the man. He escapes. He cheats death 25 times in this one film. So then that leads me to another thing I couldn't stand. I thought it was, it is reasonable. And it sounds like this person that was real, that we know at least was a real person, it sounds like he did cheat death quite a few times and probably was really quite smart. But this Will Smith in this movie fights an alligator to the death. And I just thought, okay, like, it's happened before. Is it likely to happen? Absolutely not. Is it likely to happen when you're injured, your femur is like blown to bits and you can barely move? No, not likely. He shimmies up trees. He escapes getting murdered by hornets or stung by like 1,000 bees. I mean, yeah. a rattlesnake, the list goes on. And I just thought, okay, I can believe a couple of these. I can suspend disbelief a little bit. This is ridiculous. You're making this into a Lethal Weapon movie. And it's not that. And it kind of took away from the story. So I hated that. I'll pause, Jared, to see if you have thoughts about this.
No, I think I agree with you on all that stuff. I just think I never felt a sense that he was not going to be able to get out of the situation. And I don't think that's good for a movie that you're basing around slavery, because the people that were invested, you know, were a part of that. Obviously, a lot of them were killed and a lot of them could not escape or find freedom. So to make it seem like it was just so easy for him to do that was definitely a big dislike for me. Like, I think in the movie 12 Years a Slave, which came out about 10 years ago, also a much better movie than this one, but based on an actual, you know, there's a whole book that Solomon Northup wrote about his experience, and they based the movie on that book. Right. And that movie, you get a real sense of the fact that he may never get out of the situation. It's just, you know, thing after thing is preventing him from, you know, trying to become a free man. But in this, it seemed like you said, it was just like, well, he escapes the, you know, slave owner's plantation in the first 5 minutes, and now it's just like an action adventure movie where he's just trying to do all these things. And I think that's what ultimately lost me, because if you just want to make an adventure movie with Will Smith, then do that. But to try to base it around such a serious topic in our country's history and just kind of like gloss over it was a big disappointment.
That's exactly how I feel, because I'm not tired of these movies. Will Smith talks about this in his interview with Trevor Noah even. And then I read, so there was an article I just saw the headline, I did not read the whole thing. But they were talking about, should there be a limit to showing violence to Black people in movies? And I've heard that Jared and I have even talked about that before in some of the movies we've covered, where should there be a limit to, it came up in Till. Should there be a limit to, showing gun violence with Black people, slave, like whipping people, like there's an interesting conversation to be had there. I would also argue that we've maybe had enough, or you should teach history without having to show graphic violence over and over. And there's only so many ways you can do that. We get it at this point. But I thought that was a good conversation to be have, and it bared mentioning. And I did think that the violence in this was pretty incredible. I do hate the N-word. The N-word's very hard for me to hear. I'm not against using it. I just think, like, again, it's enough already. I've heard it. I get it. I know that people treated people like dogs and animals and like crap. But there's a lot of us who are like not okay with that. And I'm just kind of tired of it at this point. I'm sure Black people are much more tired of it than I am. But I'm just saying, I don't know that as a person who really wants to advocate for people of color and also equality, I don't know what this movie taught me that I didn't already know, because it certainly didn't teach me about this guy's life either, because I didn't learn anything about him except that he was named Gordon, but they called him Whipping Peter. That's it, or Whipped Peter. The other thing is, I can't stand Ben Foster. That's a personal thing. I don't know. I don't like him. I think he plays the same person over and over. And then Will Smith even talked about him. He didn't look him in the eye or speak to him for 6 months of filming. And then the day he finished his filming, he said, "Hi, my name's Ben. Nice to meet you." And I was like, dude, you're not Heath Ledger. You are
also,
so
that character did not demand that level of dedication.
No, it absolutely did not. I was like, get over. If I never heard or saw Ben Foster in anything before or since, and that's all I knew, I'd be like, you're just garbage. Get over yourself, please. So that was disgusting. And then the last thing, I just said this. I definitely think I liked this movie more than Jared did. It probably doesn't sound like it. I thought the movie was just going to be crap, like just boring and slow. I didn't think that. I just feel like they messed so much with history. And I don't know why it was made. And I don't like when you say it's based on something that it's not based on. And it didn't teach me anything new about slavery, except possibly that freed people were forced to enlist, which would have been a much more interesting film.
Yeah, and I think the way, too, that this was... like, I was interested in this movie when I heard it was announced, when I heard the subject matter. I was like, that's a very dramatic role for Will Smith. That's a very serious role, you know? Props to him for taking on a project that is not going to be the easiest of things to do. And then Apple comes out with the trailer, and it makes you think that, okay, this is going to be like a, you know, very serious movie on this topic. And then you watch it, and it's just... it's really not, which I think is the biggest dislike. And then my final thing was, I thought the big battle at the end, while it looked cool, because we knew so little about Will Smith's character, and that transition happened so quickly, I was like, what is this for? Like, I don't, I really don't care here if they win, if they lose, if he lives, if he dies. I was like, I don't know much about him, and that choice was made so quickly, and then like to turn it in, it was almost like just an excuse to for them to have a big battle at the end of the movie.
And
when
we
they
already
didn't
know
need
they
to.
Won the
yeah
we, sorry we already know who won the war. I agree with you. And it was another thing where in that battle alone there were like five times he should have been killed and he wasn't. And everybody around him was murdered, every single person, and he's the last one standing. And I just thought, this doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen this way.
So, and then, Ben Foster, like you mentioned, I kind of go back and forth on him. I like him in Hell or High Water.
Good in that.
Yeah. I also thought Leave No Trace with him and Thomasin McKenzie is a pretty solid movie. But his role in this was just not great. And then they don't really set any tension up with that character either. Like, you know, he's trying to be menacing, but he's really not coming across that menacing. And that interaction that him and Will Smith have, like in that cornfield or whatever, was just not directed or scripted well enough to make you as the audience member feel like there was a lot of tension there. I just think of, like, again, going back to 12 Years a Slave, but I think of like Michael Fassbender in that movie, like how horrible he is. Like, you know, right from the start, that like this guy is just awful. You know, like, and he does not care at all. And I thought in this movie it was just very odd. And I the same thing with the N-word. I was Allison was in the room while I was watching it. I was like, oh look, it's a movie about slavery, so a white person has to say the N-word to remind us
like
that it's a movie
times.
About slavery.
To get it across that word was thrown around a lot. We gotta hear it 30 times. Absolutely.
So, okay. Well, that's all of our thoughts on Emancipation. I would say if you're interested, maybe watch it. I think you'll probably have more questions than answers, like Katie and I have said. But I think it could create a good discussion, especially if you you and a couple of friends watch it, and then maybe you go to dinner or something and like have a chat about it. Like, you could have some interesting conversations about it for sure. But I don't know if it's really worth your time. And with all the stuff that's getting ready to come out for the holidays, I feel like you can probably skip this one and, you know, watch something that's going to be a little bit better. So, also, weird release choice by Apple. We didn't mention that. Like, nobody wants to watch a movie about slavery 2 weeks before Christmas.
I had to, like, force myself to start it this week. I really did. I was like, I guess we're filming. Oh, I watched it yesterday. I was like, I guess we're recording the podcast tomorrow. I should probably watch this film.
I know why they did it. They wanted to see if they could have any chance with awards buzz. But again, it's such a depressing topic that I think going into the holidays, it's not something that people are going to be drawn to seek out, you know, 10 days before Christmas to watch this movie about slavery. So, okay, time for our scores. Who's first this week?
I think it's me.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm going to go ahead with a 58.
Okay.
It's not the worst movie I've seen, but I'm trying to be more realistic with my scores and compare them to other ones that I'm proud of. I know 58 isn't high, but it was very easy for me to pick the things I didn't like. Like, they stood out, they stuck out so freshly in my mind. And my only sentiment, I absolutely think we need to talk about our history. I don't think we should forget about it. I think we need to know how bad it was. Slavery is appalling. It is still appalling. We have a lot of issues to deal with it. We do not treat people equally in this country. It's a real problem. However, I think if you're going to make a film about it, have something important and interesting to say. Don't just make it so Will Smith can redeem himself and we can talk about one picture in history. Like, find what's interesting about it and what people could learn, and then make that movie. That's what I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit lower than you. I'm going to give this a 51 out of 100.
Okay.
Did not love it. It felt long to me, too, which I didn't really mention because there were so many other dislikes. But it just
we forgot to. It was too long.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it was way too long. Like you said, it didn't really have anything important to say. I would say if you want to watch a movie about historical events involving black people, I would suggest Till that came out earlier this year.
Definitely.
Which was excellent.
One of my best favorite movies of the year.
I would suggest Harriet, the movie that came out a few years ago about Harriet Tubman.
Yes, yeah. I thought about that while I was watching this. I was like, Harriet was so much better than this.
Yeah, so watch either one of those besides this one, because you'll learn a lot more. It's more historically accurate, and you'll come away with a better understanding and some more just thoughts on things than this movie. So, okay, so those are scores for Emancipation. You can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook and find us then. Also, our Letterboxd profiles are in the description for the show, so you can click on those if you're listening in Apple Podcasts or Spotify and follow us on Letterboxd. And then next up, it's the new Avatar film, Avatar: The Way of Water. We've been waiting for this one for quite a while. It's 3 hours and 15 minutes long. I'm going to go see it. Katie said nope, she's out.
I'm abstaining.
So,
I'm sticking to it.
So
well,
I saw
Downton Abbey.
Yes.
I saw Downton Abbey. I did that one by myself. So I was like, Jared, can you take one for the team and you do this one? So it's going to be a Jared-centric episode, but I'll be there. I'm still going to have our notes. I'm going to ask him questions. If he says it's great, I might grin and bear it and go see it. I just don't want to prioritize it right before the holidays. I just cannot.
Yeah. So I am looking forward to spending 4 hours at an AMC sometime in the next couple of days with trailers and everything else, watching Avatar: The Way of Water, which will be our next episode.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.